Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Hello, this is Pastor Vince. I'm going to welcome you to Chapter 3. We'll be talking about repentance from dead works, and this is part number 2. The objectives of the course, you're going to be learning how to write the key verse from memory. You're going to explain the importance of repentance. You're going to be able to explain what causes men to repent. You're going to be able to name 4 things associated with repentance. You'll be able to define conversion. You'll be able to explain the importance of conversion. You'll be able to define justification. You'll be able to explain what it means to be saved and use the parable of the prodigal son to describe repentance and conversion. Our key verse for this lesson is that I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's Luke 5:32. Now, in the last chapter, we defined repentance from dead works, which is the first of the basic doctrines listed in Hebrews 6:1-3. Dead works were defined as sin, and the origin of sin was examined. And you learned how the original sin of Adam and Eve corrupted human nature, and how this sinful nature is inherited by all men. You also learn how this corrupt nature results in all men sinning individually when they're drawn by this nature into actual acts of sin. Now, the chapter continues study of the first foundational principle, which is repentance from dead works. So when we speak of repentance, repentance from dead works was defined as an inward decision, a change of mind resulting in the outward action by turning from sin to God in righteousness. And Acts 20:21 calls it repentance towards God. By the act of repentance, you turn from your own dead works of sin towards God. Repentance is a personal decision to forsake sin and enter in the fellowship with God. It's the power of God which actually brings a change in the mind, heart, and life of a believer. So it's not anything we can do. It really is an act of God and a moving of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the changing. Acts 11:18 says, "Then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance into life." So it was God that granted the repentance into life. And we see here that repentance is a gift of God. According to Acts 5:31, "Him, Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior for to give repentance." So it's Jesus that's on the right hand of God. He's a prince and savior, and he was called to give repentance. Now, although emotions may be involved in repentance, true repentance from dead works is a decision, not just an emotion. As you learn, sorrow for sins, shedding tears, etc., is not enough. There must be accompanied by an inward decision that results in an outward change. And the importance of repentance, there are several reasons why repentance is considered a foundational truth of the Christian faith. First off, God commands it. In Acts 17:30, it says, "For God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Also, it's necessary to avoid spiritual death. Luke 13:3 says, "But except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." It's necessary for eternal life. Through repentance, the penalty of death is removed and eternal life is granted. Acts 11:18 says that when they heard these things, they held their peace and they glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance into life." It is necessary for forgiveness, for God cannot forgive your sins unless you repent. In Acts 2:38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the repentance of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So the repentance was required to repent and to be baptized that they may receive the Holy Ghost. It is necessary to enter into God's kingdom. From the time Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is in hand," Matthew 4:17. It is God's desire for all people. God does not want anyone to experience the spiritual death of eternal separation from God in hell. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, according to Mark 2 Peter 3:9. It is the reason Jesus came into the world. He said in Luke 5:32, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So, do Christians repent? Might be a question that you might ask. In the first act of repentance, sinful men turn from wrong to right, accept the gospel message, and become true believers in Jesus Christ. In the process of going on to perfection, which will be studied later in this course, a believer sometimes falls back into the old patterns of sinful behavior, and according to the biblical record, whenever believers sin, they must also repent. Now, we find in the Corinthians that the believers in a city called Corinth had to repent. In 2 Corinthians 7:9, it says, Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed into repentance. So it wasn't just the fact that you're sorry, but you sorrowed into repentance, that the change took place. You weren't just sorry, but you turned from your sins. You turned away by repenting. In 2 Corinthians 12, 20-21, it says, For I fear lest when I come that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Now, when Paul dealt with the Ephesians, the believers of Ephesus were also told to repent. In Revelations 2:5, it says, Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. In other words, go back to the beginning when you were following me. Repent and go back to the first works. As far as the Christians in Pergamos, God told the Christians there to repent too. He says in Revelations 2:16, Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And then the Christians in Sardis, in Revelations 3:3, he says, Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And the Christians in Laodicea, in Revelations 3:19, he says, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. So wherever there's sin, there must be repentance. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1, 8-9. So in the message of repentance, we look at the fact that because repentance is necessary for salvation, God made a special plan to enable the message of repentance to reach everyone. The call to repentance began in the New Testament with the ministry of John the Baptist. In Mark 1, 3-4, it says, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. John did not baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Repentance was necessary in order for the Messiah, Jesus, to be revealed. Until Israel had been called back to God in repentance, Jesus could not be revealed. Repentance was the first message that Jesus preached. Now, after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. So repentance was preached by believers in the early church. In Mark 6:12, it says, And they went out and preached that men should repent. And in Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, the repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, believers still have the responsibility to spread the message of repentance throughout the world. Jesus gave final instructions to his followers in Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So now we want to discuss what really causes men to repent. Since repentance is a foundation on which the Christian faith rests, we must understand what causes men to repent. If you're responsible to spread a message of repentance throughout the world, then you must know how men are persuaded to repent from dead works. So you understand that this is the case, but you need to really know how you bring men to repentance, and that's what we're going to deal with. First off, for the sinners to be able to see the goodness of God. The blessings of God in our life of an ungodly person are not to be mistaken as God's approval of his lifestyle. The goodness of God is one way the Lord appeals to men to turn to him. In Romans 2:4, it says, despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Another thing that leads people to repentance is preaching. The preaching of the word of God causes men to repent. The preaching of Jonah resulted in the whole city of Nineveh repenting. In Matthew 12:41, it says, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. Another is Christ's call. As the word of God is preached, people hear and respond to the call of Christ, which leads to repentance. He says, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, according to Matthew 9:13. Another means is God the Father. Jesus said no one could come to him except the Father draw him. So God draws men to repentance. According to John 6:44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him. Repentance comes through rebuke. Rebuke causes men to repent. Rebuke is correction given from the word of God. We are admonished in Luke 17:3 that if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Another means is godly sorrow. As you have learned, repentance may be accompanied by emotion. Natural emotion alone is not true repentance, but godly emotion leads to true repentance. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, godly sorrow for sin worketh repentance to salvation. So these are some things that are also associated with repentance. The Bible identifies several things associated with repentance. One of them is faith. Faith towards God is associated with repentance, and it's listed in Hebrews 6 as the second foundational principle of the Christian faith. Repentance from dead works must be combined with faith towards God. In Mark 1:15, it says, repent ye and believe the gospel. And in Acts 20:21, it says, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll learn more about faith towards God in the next chapter as you study the second foundation of the Christian faith. So we also have baptism. Baptism should accompany repentance as an outward sign of an inward change which has occurred. Acts 3:19 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So the doctrine of baptism will also be discussed later in this course. It's part of the foundations mentioned in Hebrews 6. So we also have works. The works of men, which the Bible also calls fruit, testify as to whether or not there has been true repentance. In Acts 26:20, the Gentiles should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In Matthew 3:8, it says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So works and fruits both refer to outward behavior, which should change after true repentance. Another is conversion. Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Since conversion is related to repentance, you need to understand conversion. So let's discuss conversion for a moment. Conversion actually means to turn. When it is used in connection with biblical repentance, it means to turn from the wrong way to the right way. In Luke 1:16, it says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And also they dwelt in Lydia and Saron and saw him and turned to the Lord, according to Acts 9:35. And Acts 11:21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So conversion is turning from darkness and sin to the light of God's righteousness, to turn from the darkness to light, Acts 26:18. It is turning from the power of Satan to God. Acts 26:18 says, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. It is turning from the worldly things to spiritual things. Acts 14:15 says, and ye shall turn these vanities unto the living God. It is turning from false gods to the true and living God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So also we want to discuss here the importance of conversion. Conversion must accompany repentance. So you must turn from the wrong to the right because, first off, it's necessary to enter the kingdom of God. Because Matthew 18:3 says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." It also saves from spiritual death. Because James 5:20 says, "He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." It's also necessary for blotting out sin. Our sin is written in the records of God until we repent and are converted, then it is blotted out. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Now, in the story of the prodigal son, we find repentance and conversion are the best illustrated by the story told about the prodigal son. So you want to read the story, which is in Luke 15:11 to 24. This young man left his father and his home, went to a distant land, through sin, wasted all that he owned. Eventually, the young man realized his condition. He was hungry, lonely, in rags, and tended pigs for a job. Then he made an important decision. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." This inward decision resulted in a change in his outward actions. He went home to his father to seek forgiveness. So we see here that repentance is really the change of mind. If you read in Luke 15, 17-19, the young man realized his sinful condition. He made a decision to go to the Father and repent of his sin. This is an example of repentance, an inward decision which results in outward action. Conversion is also acting on that decision. And Luke 15:20 records how the young man rose and left the old life and went to his father to start a new life. This is conversion. So in the world, we many times are dealing with prodigal men. In his own sinful condition, every man has turned his back on God as the Father, as his Father on, in heaven as his home. Each step he takes is a step away from God and one step nearer the spiritual death of eternal separation from God. So there's a major decision he must make. He must come to himself, like the prodigal son did, recognize his spiritual condition, and he must make a decision which will result in the change of spiritual direction. The change in spiritual direction will turn him from sin towards God. This is the first step in building a proper spiritual foundation. There are two terms used in the Bible which relate to repentance. The terms are justification and salvation. God is the judge of all mankind, and when you're living in dead work sin, you are condemned before him. We find in John 3:18-19, it says, "And he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So when you repent from sin, you make the decision to turn from your sinful ways. This establishes a right relationship with God, and this right relationship or right standing before God is called justification. In Romans 6:16-18 says, "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether it be sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." So instead of being servants of sin, they were turned around to become servants of righteousness because of the doctrine that was delivered to them, which was the doctrine of repentance. So the penalties of sin are physical and spiritual death. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for the sins of all mankind. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, repent and accept him as Savior. Then you'll not experience a spiritual death of eternal separation from God in hell. Although your physical body will die, you'll be resurrected to eternal life. This is made possible through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. You are justified or brought into right relationship to God by Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we being saved from wrath through him. In Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you are justified by repenting and accepting Jesus as your Savior, you are saved from a life of sin and the penalties of sin. In John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is what it means to be saved and what the Bible is speaking of when the term salvation is used. It is God's desire that all men obtain salvation rather than experience the wrath of God's judgment of sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And John 3:16-17 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So in summary, the chart on the following page summarizes the basic concepts taught in chapters 2 and 3. It's important to remember that each foundational principle of the Christian faith is related to all the others. For example, repentance and dead works cannot be separated from faith towards God, which is the subject of the next chapter. So we basically have the origin of sin, which is Lucifer and Satan. He rebelled against God. He led man into sin, which resulted in the fall of man, which was Adam and Eve. This resulted in all men inheriting the basic sin nature and committing individual acts of sin, doing to this nature. Sin leads to spiritual death. It leads to physical death. On the cross, Jesus paid those penalties, which resulted in justification of sinful men. Repentance from dead works, an inward decision which leads to conversion, which is an outward change which results in justification of sinful man before a righteous God, and salvation from a life of sin and the penalties of sin. So that's it for lesson number 3. So go ahead and go to do your chapter self-test and join me for lesson number 4.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.